Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
And now we've got the giggles.
Go.
Well, that's how we start, isn't it? Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Level 117. Jason Hunt here along with Maya Aids.
Hi.
And dialing in from remote Ice Station Calypso, Cammy Settle.
That's me.
Yeah, there she is. Let me turn that up a little bit. And here in the studio as well, Dan Handley.
Hello.
And Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And we are talking about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the latest episode, The Things We Bury. I've got a few things that I would like to bury.
Hey, we're nice.
I didn't say people.
You're talking about people. Technology.
This is not about you, Jason.
Well, everything's about me. What are you talking about?
He wants to bury all technology.
I would not mind doing without a lot of the devices that I have. Yes. That's that, but that's just me.
Yeah.
You have devices?
I do, and if I was left to my own devices, it would be much better.
Way to work yourself up to that one.
Yes. So, anyway, okay, so tonight we have a little bit more movement forward on the city of Atalan, which probably has dogs, too.
If it's a city of Atalan.
If it's a city of Atalan.
Station Calypso has gone to the dogs.
I think it is. I think it's Atalan. Well, because it only makes sense.
Well, we'll talk about this more because right now the current there's some real question as to whether or not it's actually the Inhumans at this point.
Really?
To me, there's some real questions.
Oh, okay. You have real questions. I thought you meant like out on Twitterverse or something. I didn't see anything.
I don't pay attention to the larger babble of the world. Only my opinions matter.
Did you not listen to our show about how the internet makes people stupid?
No, because no.
Some of us, like me, don't need the internet for that.
Yeah, we can do it all on our own.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So this episode is all about the diviner and the history behind it a little bit. We get a little bit more reveal and backstory for Whitehall's character.
Yeah.
And the return of Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
Yay. And he's apparently buried alive, sort of. I mean, he's imprisoned in a prison called The Rat. That's an unusual name for a prison.
I thought that was the name for him.
No, that was where they put it.
It's probably a nickname or an abbreviation for something.
Oh, it could be S.H.I.E.L.D.
It could be, yeah.
It probably is an abbreviation.
It's an acronym for something.
Yeah, it could be. But so we have Whitehall.
Awful
well, we have
terrorists.
What's his German name?
Oh.
But anyway, Whitehall is in prison for 44 years, and he is released as an old man
in 1989
by Secretary Pierce, mm-hmm. Robert Redford's character from Captain America: The Winter Soldier. So it was a nice little nod there.
Right.
And he goes to Austria. Does that look like the same place they're using for Von Strucker's place?
It did, actually.
Kind of, a little bit.
It looked very similar to that.
So it's a Hydra facility where experiments take place, and they bring in a bunch of people from, I guess, China.
Oh.
And Whitehall recognizes one of those people as somebody that he had in his custody 44 years ago when he was trying
to
figure out.
Who has not changed.
And she hasn't aged a day.
Right.
And yes. He's going to try to figure out just exactly how that happened.
Can we share the spoiler now, or do we come back to that later?
Well, there's going to be all sorts of spoilers in this show. You have been warned, folks. This is how we do. We do what we do. We talk about spoilers.
We spoil things.
Yes.
We're like Rotten Tomatoes.
Reinhardt.
Yes, Reinhardt. So Reinhardt at this point sees this woman of Chinese descent. Maybe. And he figures out there's something different about her because she's still young.
Well, hasn't aged a bit.
Yes. She actually doesn't look anything like the other people in the group that they brought in.
And it was the same person who was able to touch the obelisk.
Yes.
Without it killing her.
Anything happening to her.
Well, and it turned all these bright little colors.
Which is exactly what happened when Raina touched it a few weeks ago.
She activated the device.
Wait a minute. We didn't see her do that.
Yes, we did.
They pushed her
face onto the... 45
years
ago flashback.
Oh, that was in the first two minutes that I missed.
Oh, that's right, because you were in transit.
Okay, we saw it.
Yes.
You did not.
So they brought her in. They brought her in as part of this chain gang, basically, of people. Here, go ahead and touch it and see what happens.
No.
And they were timing how long it takes for people to die, and they brought her in. And they're, of course, she's not voluntarily cooperating at all. So they're forcing her physically down into contact with the obelisk. And from Reinhardt's reaction, it would seem like that's the first time that he's seen the obelisk do that.
Okay.
As opposed to, anybody touches it, they die.
Right.
Yeah, the impression was that the first one, she's the first one who survived.
Right. So he's got to figure out why she's different. Except just before he starts to do that, some punk kid yahoo in a uniform comes in and says, "The Red Skull is dead. We've lost. We've got to run." And such. Which apparently is probably right before the scene that we got in the season premiere where the Howling Commandos come in and take everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for those damn kids.
Meddling
kids, yeah. Meddling kids and their dog.
You're the one with the dogs.
So we've got we've got that piece of it. And then, of course, we've got the scenes between Ward and his brother.
Yeah, which...
That took a nice little twist at the end of that.
There's a number of layers that kind of works on, and you kind of ask yourself at various points from the beginning of the introduction of Ward's brother that whether or not... Who's telling the truth?
Well, and it...
Well, sure. I mean, was that confession under duress?
Well, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, but at the same time...
But does under duress...
Still mean it's not a confession.
Not equal truth.
Yeah. Does that mean he's just saying what he's saying just to get done?
The answer is it's under duress, and I think I think it's the truth because he keeps talking. He doesn't just sit there and go, "There, I've said what you wanted me to say." No, he keeps talking. He keeps explaining the family dynamics.
And Ward, you see a definite change in Ward at that point, in Grant Ward at that time when he starts to talking. The emotional dichotomy between the two up until the point of the confession, it really does feel a little deliverance-like where he's going, he's digging up the well, he's going to open the well, he's going to throw his brother down the well, and Grant Ward is coming off as just a little bit crazy. And the switch gets flipped. You can almost see it.
And you think he's sane.
Yeah, and it's almost like, well, wait a minute. Was all of this a put-on up until this point just to get the confession? Or is Grant Ward so emotionally unstable that it's almost like a Two-Face thing, a Harvey Dent thing, where you've got very, very calm.
Could you do that again, please?
Only one a night. Yeah,
and the visuals were great on a podcast.
folks, it's a shame. You
really missed something there.
Yeah, one of these days, we will have cameras.
We have cameras.
I know.
You need to do this.
Yeah, but we're not consistent with the technology because sometimes live stream works and sometimes it doesn't.
That's true.
And we need more cameras than the two that we've got in order to do it right. So we're working on that, though. Mm. It's on the shopping list, and there is a shopping list, and that shopping list gets longer
and longer
and longer. I don't understand.
I thought it was a shoplifting list.
That's about the budget level we're working on someday. Yeah.
We'll take donations.
The five-finger discount.
It's the borrow list.
Not that we are condoning.
No. Not at all.
No.
But we'll take
donations.
It does give me the opportunity to mention that at some point we are thinking about launching a campaign on Patreon, which we haven't quite figured out exactly all of the moving pieces and parts on that yet. But
I just thought of something.
Okay.
If they support us at a certain level, then they can watch the live streaming.
Possibly. Possibly. Never know. We'll see.
Because that would be such a treat.
It would be. They get to hear the off-air stuff.
I don't know if anybody really wants to hear that.
I don't know. If Maya talks about fluffing again, that's worth tuning
for. Hey, now.
Well, the only thing is,
again, not that kind of show.
Well, we all do have voices for radio.
And if you give us enough money, we'll make it that kind of show.
Speak for yourself.
We will turn this into something else completely.
Well, the thing
okay, wait a minute. Let's go back to where we were.
The thing is, would the video thing be a bonus if we've got faces for radio as well?
That's a question.
Okay. If you give us money, we won't give you the money.
Give us money. We'll hire actors to pretend to be us while we do the podcast. And you go
whatever,
watch them.
Wait a minute. Yeah. We're all actors.
I'm not. Okay.
Well, that's true. He really can't.
Yeah, I couldn't carry it.
So back to this whole Ward thing.
Wait, what? What were we talking about?
Ward.
Was there a TV show about Shield? You
know, and his brother Christian.
Hang on. What?
With bringing you back from digression. So this week I'm taking it seriously.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And
but the dog is not.
Sorry.
But the dog digresses.
So, yes.
I know. It wasn't time yet. It just wasn't time. So Ward has this change of persona, right? When he finally gets the confession from his brother.
Yeah.
And you got to ask yourself, okay, was it really what he wanted to hear, and so now he's satisfied with that and he's okay? Or was it what he wanted to hear because now he's got the recording of the confession so that the bodies can be burned and found?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could be both.
You still don't know the answer.
Well, I think we do, because I think, and this is just the theory, but I think it's the final explanation that he wanted, that he's not to blame for any of this.
Yeah, it still
he
is
wants somebody
the,
else
this
to blame.
This is my brother, you know, my brother did this, and this is, it's not my fault.
It's more validation for his own self-perception,
the ultimate,
whether it's a delusion or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think though that you are all onto something about his very unstable mental and emotional state. I think he's like a volcano that could erupt at any moment.
But something that I kind of got out of it was it was almost a kind of a satisfaction, because when he was a kid, he was pressured by his brother until he gave in.
So apparently
he says,
tortured
and
by
this
his mother.
He was able to pressure the older brother into caving in. It's almost like he got
power
to turn the tables for a moment.
But why did he kill? So he killed his brother, and he also killed his brother's wife, or was that the mistress?
No, it sounded like he killed his brother and his parents.
You killed the brother and the parents.
Oh, I thought the parents had been killed ages ago.
No. The house had been burned down.
Yeah.
But
parents were still alive.
I guess the parents were still alive up until now.
Not anymore.
No, the wife and mistress are still alive, apparently.
But do they know about each other?
Hmm?
Do what?
I said maybe they'll meet and have coffee.
And that'll be another show.
I don't see this as a spinoff. No.
No. But okay, that would be an interesting coffee, I think.
Well, so which one would take on the persona of Ms. Marvel, and which one would take on?
No.
Yeah. So we've got so the other thread is Skye's father.
Right.
Another race.
Unstable.
Kyle MacLachlan is the reason to watch the show. If you have gotten away from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you sat there and gone, if you had issues with the first season, tune back to watch Kyle MacLachlan just be crazy.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Creepy
tonight.
As
it was
hell.
So good. Yeah. He's got, you know, remember back in the day, Kyle MacLachlan got his break in pretty much the culture. In Dune, David Lynch Dune
as Paul Atreides,
and then of course Twin Peaks was his other big thing. But he was often criticized early on for being fairly wooden. Remember that? Remember he used to sit there?
Yeah, I remember.
And then The Hidden. Remember the first The Hidden, which was actually really really good.
Wasn't he in Blue Velvet too?
He was in Blue Velvet,
stiff.
But
everybody called him.
But the thing is that a lot of those characters he was asked to play are very repressed, tightly controlled emotionally characters.
So he was being able. He was being asked
what he was
to
doing.
But you look at some of these characters that he's, you know, when they've gotten away from this, you look at him this. There's nothing wooden about this character.
Oh, no. You can tell. I mean, he is definitely having fun with this.
He is having a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this character is barely holding on to his shirt.
Oh, I know. And it's great. It's like, give me a whole episode of this. I mean, give me a whole episode of him and Coulson.
Oh, that would be awesome. Wow.
Just two of them talking.
Yeah, that dialogue between those
sitting in a coffee shop, each one with a cup of coffee. Just give this to me. Why is so bad?
Let me guess. You would pay good money
so
for it.
So funny.
With Bob in the corner back.
There we go. Bob, yeah. Well, say, but Loki in one corner and Bob in the other corner. Oh, jeez. And you know, there'd be like blood all over the walls, and the two of them just sitting there drinking their cups of coffee.
Wouldn't that be a hoot?
Pulling out the eyeball.
So the idea here, Shield and Hydra are both racing to get to this city. Hydra doesn't really know that they're after a city until Dad tells them.
Yeah, right. He shows up, but he has a lot more answers than Whitehall does. And
yep.
Yeah, and you can tell Dr. Dad is playing Whitehall.
Oh, yeah, he's playing Whitehall. Yeah. Cammy, what were you saying?
I said he needs an in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked the whole line towards the end when you had Whitehall. What's Dad's name?
The doctor
and Grant, Monster and they're all three sitting there, and the line is something about looking your enemy in the eye.
Yeah, and he looks right at Whitehall.
Uh-huh.
Well, and Whitehall looks right back at him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can.
But I don't know but Whitehall is grinning, and I don't think he considers the doctor to be his enemy because he doesn't realize who he's crossed.
Probably
in
not.
This past.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Because if he knew how he had scorned him, he would not be sitting there so calmly with him.
I am looking forward to the moment where
the reveal.
The reveal. And basically, and I have a funny feeling it's going to be, you know, Whitehall strapped down. and if nothing else, at the end, you know, everything else, everyone else will be dead. And Kyle MacLachlan will walk up and go, oh, good. We're finally alone. I want a few things I'd like to discuss with you. You may remember my wife.
You took this part and that part, and I'm going to take them from you.
I'm curious how much of you I can take apart before you stop.
Yeah.
Here's my thinking on that. When they do finally have that confrontation, and Dr. Dad takes back what Whitehall took from wife.
Yeah, because you know it's coming.
I want... Yep. Raiders of the Lost Ark meltdown. I want Whitehall to just disintegrate.
Yes.
Take away the magic. Well, take away whatever potion is keeping him young.
We saw in that sequence where we get our just flashes of what he did to her.
Yes.
We got very gory tonight. We got very bloody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just flashes, and they didn't. And honestly, they did not linger.
Yeah,
we're looking at
just enough to go.
We're looking
to
at
just
seconds.
Go,
we're looking like a second, a shot, and we all know how long a second is on camera, but it's not very long at all.
And you know that's who Whitehall was threatening Reyna with when he said that he had operated on somebody, a woman, for how long did he say?
A week.
Yeah,
took her a week to die
and kept her alive.
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's who he was talking
about. Who it was.
Yeah. So it's just you know.
So what do you think they're going to find when they get to the city? Because 2 weeks from now...
Because next week is off.
Next week is off. Why is next week
off? I don't know.
We're going to look,
but they said that.
Look that up.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, there's going to be... Oh, next week is Thanksgiving. It's probably a Charlie Brown special.
Okay. I'll be watching that.
Should we go to break with Vince Guaraldi Trio?
We should.
Well, we won't, but we are going to go to break.
We are,
hold that thought.
Yeah, hold that thought.
Because we're over a little bit. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more analysis and speculation and contemplation when this episode of Level 117 continues right after this.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we, and some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hey everyone, Leslie Walker here, inviting you to join me and the rest of the Sci-Fi for Me crew every week as we dive into the details of the TV shows that you and we love. Did you miss your favorite show this week? Or perhaps you need someone to talk to about that latest plot twist and the implications. Well, maybe your friends don't geek out over shows like Supernatural, Grimm, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like what your friends over at Sci-Fi for Me do, but hey, it's what we live for. So join us for the latest at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 11D7, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 11D7, Jason Hunt here, along with Cammie Settle, Maya Aides.
Hello.
Yep.
Dan Handley.
Hello.
Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Who bears a striking resemblance to Mr. Whitehall in some respects.
From the look he's giving you, I don't think he appreciates that.
We have figured out that the reason that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not on next week is because there is going to be a Dancing with the Stars special, probably the results show. A
2-hour special.
2 hours. Dancing with
That's
the Stars.
That's a lot of dancing.
Yes, it is. So you guys,
if this is the kind of thing
watch.
You like, then this is the kind of thing you will like.
And yeah. More power to you.
Knock yourselves out.
Get up there and dance with the TV.
So, I think Leah Thompson's still in, isn't she? If we want to talk genre people.
In the dancing?
Is she still in the running?
I honestly don't know.
I think so. Anyway, so we're talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We are just that close to getting to the city of Atalan.
If that's what it is.
Oh, you think that close.
So you have a theory that it may be, not be.
See, here's the thing. They keep talking about this whole, If the doctor is correct, okay, because we basically at this point we're all
doctor lies.
Well, it's true. It doesn't matter which network he's on. There we go. Kyle MacLachlan to play the doctor next.
He did. Don't you remember?
Yeah, that's right. In the American version of Doctor Who. Yeah. No, if his story is correct, that it is a the city that has a temple in it, that it was created by an alien race, and the temple is only the select, the chosen ones can go inside the temple, and that the diviner will determine who those are. This sounds nothing like any of the Inhuman storylines. This doesn't have anything to do with it. That doesn't mean that it can't be this version of it.
Right.
But I'm just saying that there's no basis in the established mythology of the Inhumans for this now.
Well, there's just no war. I mean, the traditional history of the Inhumans starts with the Kree-Skrull War.
Well, but we don't know that. Again, all we have at this point, all we have is a Kree,
right?
In theory, because we think it's a Kree,
and the story.
Pretty sure it's Kree.
The story
everything's leaning
of
towards Kree.
The Blue Angels,
right?
Which
so
is
we may,
Kree.
This could actually be. I mean, may not have anything to do with the Inhumans at all. It could be an entirely just a Kree thing.
And then again, it might be another universe in the Marvel world.
Oh, sure. But the thing is that, I mean, so much of what they've already given us in with the Marvel Cinematic Universe has some connection that you can sit there and go, aha, that's this.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
This is so disconnected at this point. That doesn't mean that it's not. I'm just saying that right now there's it doesn't connect with the established, the 616 universe or the Ultimate Universe for that matter. So it could be a completely new spin on them. It could be a spin on the Eternals. I hadn't even thought about the Eternals.
I'm going to have to get my paper and pencil out again.
I'm going to have to look. I'm going to have to go poke around because we're talking about the Inhumans and the Eternals just popped into my head.
Now, isn't one of the candidates for Dr. Dad's identity is one of the Eternals, isn't he?
Well,
you got Hyde, you've got Black Bolt's brother,
right?
And who's the third
Maximus
one?
The Mad.
Yeah.
How do these guys differ from the Inhumans?
Yes, Mr. Harvey, our resident expert on Marvel Comics.
Well, the Eternals
less fortunate
are a the Celestials, which is yet another alien race that is kind of mysterious and look like giant robots.
Now,
and
correct me if I'm wrong in my remembering here, but the Celestials were part of the experiment on Cro-Magnon that gave us the Inhumans, correct?
Well, the Celestials visited about 5 million years ago or so, like you do.
Yes.
And they created two different versions of humanity way back when. One was the Eternals and one was the Deviants. And the Eternals were extremely long-lived, generally tended to be pretty. The Deviants were genetically unstable. They looked horrific.
Right.
Okay, they tended to look like the monsters of myth and that sort of thing. They are the cause of mutations, of the tendency of humanity to have mutants.
We can't say that word.
We can.
Mutate. Have some things, what happens that makes them different.
Yeah.
And the eye beams and the claws and all the things that some other studios use.
I don't see why we can't say that.
Could the Eternals show up if the mutants are tied up with Fox?
Oh, sure. Okay. Because they're
not connected. We just call them
genetic oddities.
they've shown up a lot in Thor.
Okay.
Because in some ways they're kind of gods. I mean, they're gods in the same kind of way that
could they be setting up? Okay, so they could they be setting up a lead in to Ragnarok? You don't think they'd do that?
It's entirely possible. Generally, let's see here. They actually have gone into space, and they experiments performed by Kree scientists on a captured Eternal.
But
led them to go to Earth and perform their own genetic experiments on a group of humans.
Yes, which led to the Eternals
creating the Inhumans.
Yeah. I thought they were connected.
Well, yeah, but it's not. It's not like
it's not a direct connection. But there is a thread that goes from the Eternals to the Inhumans through the Kree.
Right.
And how many steps to Kevin Bacon?
One.
Wouldn't it be cool if Kevin Bacon showed up as a Kree?
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be pretty great.
Make it happen, Internet. Kevin Bacon as a Kree.
Now, the fun part is, hashtag. Of course... Is
hashtag Kree Kevin Bacon.
Nice.
This is... they are a Jack Kirby creation, by the way, the Eternals.
Well, there you go.
So there is a...
The deal's in place.
I think, honestly, you know, anytime you can get Kirby in there.
Okay, so is there a... Are based on... What we've seen so far in the clues and the hints and the stories and the whatnot, are you
from
leaning,
tonight?
Well, from all of it so far.
Okay.
Are you leaning more toward this being Eternals or Inhumans? Because given what Kevin Feige had said, they're going to start dropping things, they're going to start dropping Inhumans stuff early.
Well,
that was the word he used. He said early.
I know. I think that we are more likely to see the Inhumans here. The problem with the Eternals opens up is that to tell the Eternal story, you kind of have to tell the story of the Celestials. And they are world-class threat. I mean, this is, you know, giant...
Bigger than Chitauri invasion.
Oh, yeah. These are
I don't know. This whole diviner thing seems like...
These are several hundred foot tall... Entities that basically can remap worlds with their power of their minds and technology. I mean,
several feet tall, they could remap the countries with their feet.
The Celestials are essentially, essentially
Will Chamberlain with superpowers.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Celestials are deity level. You know, these are like the things that people think are gods.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They come in and they go sit there and they don't speak. They're just quiet and I mean we can't comprehend what they're saying. They're alien in that sense that you just don't know what they're doing except your world is coming undone.
Maya's eyes are glazing over here, Tim.
No, I'm just like
your effects budget is gone. I mean this is the stuff you put it. This is the stuff
Which
you put in
you
movies.
Do, yeah, that's why Inhumans is more likely than Eternals,
right?
Celestials
so they could give us, and they're
that seems too big.
But here's the thing: is that the stuff that we saw in the preview for 2 weeks from now looks an awful lot like Europe.
Somewhere,
it looks very British. It could be German. It's that very
Wait! You're talking about where they
the
showed
city?
All the little city stuff we've seen that looks very Europe. So I don't know. I mean,
they're not going to the city yet.
It's bam, 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 bam.
Anywhere.
You know, edit. So
they found the city, but maybe that's not where they go first.
Could be.
So I don't understand Whitehall's eagerness to get the secrets of this obelisk unlocked, because it sounds to me like when it happens, everybody that's working for him is going to be gone.
Well, Whitehall is looking for a weapon. Whitehall is looking for something that he can use to destroy his enemies.
And, it's going to destroy all of his...
Yeah, but he doesn't know that.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He's only...
He thinks he'll survive, but he doesn't...
If you turn something into a weapon...
Yes.
And you have an enemies list...
Yes.
Then you're not likely to use that weapon on anybody else but your enemies. You have an enemies list, you have a weapon, you use the weapon on your enemies.
You can't control the weapon.
Well,
And the weapon will kill everyone.
But he's arrogant enough.
You're killing everyone.
He thinks that he is powerful enough that he can control this weapon. Because he's only thinking in terms of a weapon. Now, you've got Dr. Dad coming in saying, no, this is much more than that.
Yes. Right. But you only know a portion of its power.
But Whitehall only has Dr. Dad's word for it.
Yeah.
They don't know this for a fact. I mean, Dr. Dad could be lying through his teeth that
but
this
he probably
thing is a key
is,
or
but...
anything. I don't think he is.
No,
I don't
he
think
isn't. But Whitehall.
But Whitehall can think he is. Yeah. All he wants. For him, he's in the mindset of Nazis
weapon.
Hydra weapon. And that's all he cares about. But
when
Dr. Dad comes in and says...
But even the Nazis were trying to kill their enemies, not their Aryan race.
Right.
And what he's setting out to do, whether he realizes it or not, is to destroy anybody that doesn't have this alien genetic coding.
But Whitehall doesn't know anything about the alien
code. He's in search of the superior race, though, still. So it's still consistent with who he is.
Right. Because anybody who's got the genetic markers, who's human, quote-unquote so-called, who has the genetic marker that allows them to touch this obelisk and not die... they're automatically a evidence of a superior race.
Well,
yes?
We're kind of assuming that it's about a genetic marker, whereas
maybe.
If they said that there was something inside the obelisk doing it, so we're possibly looking at another Infinity Stone, which in Guardians, in order to hold that one...
The purple one.
Yeah, the purple one.
Which one is that one?
The color scheme for the film seems to be different.
Which one is in Guardians? Which Infinity Stone was that one?
Which form of the Guardians, I think, is what he's saying.
No.
The
Infinity Stones are taking different forms in the movie than they do in the books.
That's what I meant.
But the thing is, in order to hold it that long, identify that he wasn't just purely human, he would have died. So you find people touching this obelisk.
You're talking about Star-Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah, Star-Lord. Quill.
And it's possible that Peter Quill is an inhuman as well.
Well, his father's an alien.
Yeah, his father's an alien, and that allowed him to be able to hold that stone.
Right.
Now, but whereas a
but
normal
Dr.
human
Dad could be an alien.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't you think he is?
But the thing is, we're probably looking at an Infinity Stone that a normal human just can't handle it.
Yeah. So you think Doctor is not an alien?
No, I didn't say that. I said there's a he more than likely is, but mom could have been an alien.
Yeah, they've never told us.
They've never said that. Now,
both of them were at least part alien.
Well, given that
mom clearly had some different DNA in her system.
Yeah. So I would say that at least one of them was. Dad doesn't necessarily have to be, but all of the indications are that he is.
Yeah.
Well, with Skye's taking to the
that's not her name.
the GH formula from the alien, we assume Kree. The way she took to it, we assume that there's alien DNA.
Right. But, and that's what the show is wanting us to believe.
Yeah. And the reason why I think it's Infinity Stone is when Coulson mentioned being on the level of the Tesseract. I didn't know what it was, but...
Right.
Oh, yes. I don't know what that is.
And so I'm like,
that was a great line.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what you're talking about.
But when he dropped that line, I'm like, okay.
It could be a clue. Well,
I see.
Because the prevailing theory online is that this obelisk is a Terrigen crystal, which could lead to the building of a Terrigen bomb, which goes off with the Terrigen mist and creates the Inhumans and da-da-da-da.
But they talked about something inside of it, though. That's what
But if there's something inside that is at least semi-sentient enough to be making choices, you could be right. It could be an Infinity Stone. Which one have we not seen yet? Haven't we seen all of them yet?
I think we've only seen...
Well, there are six.
There's right. six total. We've only seen like three or four.
So we got the one in Loki's staff. We got the Tesseract. We got the red one from Thor Dark World, whatever that one is. We got the purple one. That's four.
That's four.
So there's two out there somewhere else.
Have we only seen four?
I think we've only seen four.
You guys are counting them off.
Four, only four.
I think there might just be four.
This could be an Infinity Stone then. I hadn't thought about that.
Nova Corps has one. Because that came out of Guardians.
Yep. That's the one the Quill gave him.
Yeah. Tesseract is one.
Yeah.
The Aether from Dark World is three. And
the last time we saw the Aether, it was in the Collector's Chamber. Mm-hmm. What happened to that one? After
Loki's is four. If the Tesseract is, that makes might make five.
Not the same one that...
No, what do you mean the Tesseract? No, you counted the Tesseract already.
Yeah, you did.
That's four. We've only got four.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
How many total? Six?
There's six total.
There's six total, yeah.
So there's
we've got two,
at least one, probably two that we haven't seen
yet. Two unaccounted for. That, I don't know. What do you think? An Infinity Stone in the obelisk?
Wouldn't it rattle?
Would it rattle?
Well, the Tesseract didn't rattle.
Who had a chance to shake it, right?
Yeah. Well, everyone keeps trying, but...
Here, baby, it's a rattle! No, the guy who could rubberize his hands, he didn't shake it, but he was carrying it around. And
if there is something inside, if there is an Infinity Stone inside, it's more likely just kind of stored inside something that keeps it in place, like the one in Guardians of the Galaxy. Because it was inside that orb, and it was held in a fixed position, because those things are dangerous.
And the Tesseract held one in a fixed position. Loki's staff holds it in a fixed position.
Right.
So this one probably has some sort of bubble wrap around it.
I'm surprised that we've only got four. I was thinking we'd seen more than that, but I guess not.
Well, we have a few more movies before we actually get to the, you know.
Yeah, I know.
We got a couple of three.
4 years left. Five years.
We'll call that my theory.
Okay.
That's a good theory.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see how that plays out. Because if that is an Infinity Stone, then would that indicate that Marvel is investing a little bit more story-wise in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? That it's going to be a little bit more.
You mean have more levels?
Well,
more
not
layers
have,
or?
Have more importance because
oh,
you know, up
I
until
see.
This point
instead
we've
of just being a
saying,
feeding
you know,
ground for to
it's
promote
Agents
the next
of
movie.
S.H.I.E.L.D., it's a commercial for the movies, yada yada yada,
mm-hmm.
and all of the major stuff happens in the movies.
Letting it be a not necessarily an equal part because it's not but certainly have
instead
its
own of sense. Instead
yeah,
of sure. all the movies trickling down to the show,
mm-hmm.
and you get fallout from that. If it goes back the other way, if
as
something
well.
From the film, if something from the TV show informs what happens in the movies.
Well, when Coulson took over as director, I think it already went the other direction.
Yeah, he has a point there.
Even though it hasn't been a movie yet.
That's
yeah, it hasn't played out yet, but it will affect it. After all, S.H.I.E.L.D. was a big part of it,
mm-hmm.
a
mm-hmm.
big part of the continuity, and now we've got the change of hands.
I think a lot of that's going to depend on what we see in Age of Ultron, because like we were talking about tonight when Britt got shot.
Yeah,
that or Britt.
Trip.
That's his act. The actor's name is Britt. Triplet. Trip. Triplet.
Yep.
That guy. That guy that got shot. That guy what
got
shot.
The guy
shot.
What got the bullet
oh,
in him.
What got the bullet in. When we were talking about the fact that he's rumored to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., in Age of Ultron.
You're having a hard time.
The words.
It's Tuesday.
You don't
it's
have
Tuesday.
Enough coffee in your system.
I don't. But the rumor is that B.J. Britt is at least got a cameo in Age of Ultron,
which is why you said, oh, you know he's going to live.
He's not going to die.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was saying, like,
but,
you know, he could
yeah.
do it as a flashback.
It could be.
But he lived.
It could be.
He
but
lived.
He lived.
Yeah.
He lived.
In memoriam.
And Gemma Simmons will be happy.
Right. Yes.
Well, you know, going back to what you said about the TV show feeding into the movies,
mm-hmm.
when you said that they're going to be dropping things to help set up the Inhumans.
Yeah.
That's doing exactly that. That's
what we think.
That's feeding
yeah.
That's feeding and setting up the movie instead of the movie
right.
tidbits
and
being
given,
in the show.
Given that The Inhumans is in, what, 2018?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That gives us 4 years
that's
to set that up.
That's a long time.
Yep. Not impossible.
No?
It but should be interesting.
A,
I mean,
what,
whatever they
played
out, because I mean, the, you know,
so we, here's what. See, the thing about it is, though, if Marvel is playing a long game with the Inhumans on this, and we're looking at a 4 year setup to the movie, what happens
between now and
what happens if the show gets canceled?
They're screwed.
Well, okay,
no,
here's,
because that
here's,
is still
here's
that,
the
then
problem
they move
with
it to
playing
Netflix,
the long game.
Then they and move it to Netflix where they don't have to. I mean,
could
they
be.
Could do
yeah,
that.
That's actually
they could
true.
Do it.
You,
they could.
Yeah, you could pull it off and put it on Netflix, especially if the Netflix stuff mm-hmm. works.
Mm-hmm. But we're not going to get Netflix until next year.
Right.
Well, they've also got Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they could feed things there.
Yeah, but Agent Carter is 1945, 1946.
Right.
Are you implying but... that aliens have not visited us before?
No. I know they built the pyramids, but still, you know, it's you know, you're going backwards. In the chronology
right.
Of the story of the cinematic
yes,
universe.
Still,
Apocalypse
still
built
relevant.
The pyramids. Did you not see the end of Days of Future Past?
Yes.
See, that was Apocalypse.
Different continent.
And I realize it's a different studio, but that's not the point. The point is.
Actually,
it might have been the Transformers, according to Michael Bay. I don't even know anymore.
It was the Minions. Did you not see the trailer?
Yes.
That's
Minions.
Actually true, yeah.
Banana.
I liked that.
That was a good trailer.
That was a very good trailer.
Another good trailer is the Peanuts trailer. That's fun.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I'm looking forward to that. I'm not a big CGI 3D
the Peanuts
type person,
trailer?
But yeah. We finally get to see what
the
Snoopy
shorts?
Sees when he's flying his sup with Kemal.
Oh, that's actually awesome.
Is it in color or black and white?
It's in color. It's oh, it looks good.
Incredible.
It looks good. And the fact that this is Schultz family is involved.
That's good.
As tightly as they are. We got one producing and you got the Charles Schultz grandson helping on the script.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's in good hands. We'll see.
I hope so.
I don't know. So
because that's
it's,
near
it's
and
the
dear
kind of
to
thing
all
that
of
gives
us.
You a little bit of faith.
Yes.
And for those of us whose hearts are dark and shriveled and lacking in hope.
Speak for yourself, sir. Oh, wait.
I was talking about you. my heart's fine. that's a lie.
Mine's beating. Just,
and his
you know,
heart grew three sizes.
That was a tumor.
Excuse me, I have to go take my nitroglycerin pills now.
The heart growing three sizes was because of a tumor.
It's not
I was going
to
say.
Not a tumor.
I think you need to go to the doctor. Your heart's not supposed to go three sizes. That's not right. You're in trouble.
That's called an exploding heart.
That condition actually has a name, I think. Okay, so what are we? Where are we?
<don't know. laughs> But we digress.
We do. That's what
talk
we do.
About,
we've
so
gone
so
to.
We've already talked about
gone to
War
Grinch.
In progression. We've talked about Monster Dad, and so now we need to talk about the A Team, right?
The A Team. You mean well, our, you know, our? You mean our Shield? Our this little band
our
of
shield?
Our little band
means,
of Shield.
Yeah. She means B.A. Baracus and.
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby and
yeah, that's who I'm talking
Bobby
about.
And Hunter.
Exactly.
And Bobby
yeah.
did look like she was worried that he was about to spill something about her.
Who?
Bakshi.
Yeah, when she was interrogating him, and he started to talk about what she had gone through to prove that she was loyal to Hydra. And she suddenly
that word to me.
Yeah,
she
no, so,
suddenly changed her face deep, look, and I.
Well, I think that
might
have been
things.
More for him because you know I think that.
Oh, maybe
she,
it was
because she was sent in to be to do that role what? For Shield, which means that
yeah.
she was deep cover, which means, and this is Shield. These are the lion killing spy types. You know, when they go deep cover, it's like, yeah, I got to kill somebody to keep the cover. I got to kill somebody to keep the cover. So
right, but I wonder what he has on her.
Not much anymore.
No, he didn't die.
Yeah, but you know, generally speaking, mouthful of cyanide pills aren't
not good.
Good for you.
No, not good for you. He
yeah,
may not be able to
mouth,
say a
it was
whole
his
lot.
Cheekbone full of
okay,
stuff.
Yeah, well, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, yeah.
He's gonna end up. They're gonna have that whole scene. It's gonna be Xavier Bardem all over again, and Daniel Craig's gonna have to show up. And...
Well, and the other thing is that you know, through the interrogation process, we did see. her wearing him down in terms of his loyalty to Whitehall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The idea that he's loyal because he's afraid.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, the setup is now you're going to have to either give him something more to be afraid, you know, something to be more afraid of on the Shield side.
Or total immunity.
Or you give him something that is so completely, that so completely changes his understanding of who Whitehall is and what he is, that Bakshi is neutralized somehow. Whether he, he's not going to flip. But yeah, it's either
he's worked on his motivations though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's going to play into some of the stuff that connects to Agent Carter, because I still think that I'm thinking now that we may at least get a couple of episodes during Agent Carter that have Reinhardt in it.
Oh yeah,
maybe.
Oh, I would think so. I think you're gonna be able to play with some of that stuff.
Yeah,
They seem to. I mean, they're almost like they're bridging the two shows now,
mm-hmm.
in anticipation of Agent Carter starting in January.
Oh, this is in some respects, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is now a commercial for Agent Carter.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
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 But they're doing this strange little crossover back and forth.
Because when
it starts, it's going to be then go back and forth between the two shows.
Yeah, because when January comes in and everybody's watching Agent Carter, they go, "Oh, I remember this from November."
Right. Yep.
It's funny because I'm reading David Weber's Honor Harrington series again, and there are in some of the later books. There are crossovers. So you've got things that happen. The same scene happens in two different books from two different perspectives and stuff This whole book is happening at the same time. This other whole book, and these are the intersection points where these characters and these characters all fit together and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm having to backtrack and figure out, okay, this book happens before this book.
The timeline.
And it's really interesting to see, because those crossover points really do help to help in the world building,
where they intersect.
You get a bigger understanding of just how big this story universe is, and I think that's what they're doing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter now, where you've got these scenes from Agent Carter's timeline, from her history, from her time period, building into the current Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. story.
I mean, you're introducing a level of complexity with storytelling that doesn't often happen.
And you're going to come back to it, I think, in January when Agent Carter starts.
Yep.
Only that probably would be middle of her show, middle of her arc. Because the beginning, the first couple of episodes are just going to be setting up S.H.I.E.L.D. And then this thing is going to happen, I think.
Yep.
Maybe.
We might get some more of her early stuff, kind of setting up her origins before her show even starts.
Yeah, I think we'll probably get maybe one or two more episodes with her in it before January.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yeah, I can see that.
So now we've got Ward coming to Whitehall after
the creepy
death of his brother and parents. Now, the implication, of course, is that Grant Ward has just killed his family.
That is the implication, yes.
That is the implication.
Yes. So now he's on a hero arc, because we were talking about this earlier.
He's not on a hero. Arc? No.
No, you said.
Okay.
No. That's how you start out.
Killing your own family does not start you on the hero's arc.
Okay. Now, so you don't kill your own family, but you have to be without family.
No, the hero's journey always starts with an orphan or an alone, abandoned type young that doesn't
some kind
have
of major handicap.
Somebody with no kind of connection.
He's got multiple emotional handicaps.
Well, yes, but
okay. But how much of that is an act? Because we've seen tonight that crazy can be an act for Grant Ward.
All kinds of things can be an act for Grant Ward.
Right.
In fact,
so
it all seems to be an act for Grant.
They're basically just sitting there.
Yeah.
Everything that they've done so far is basically saying Grant Ward is this big onion, and they're just piling on all of the layers of crazy to this guy.
He's an ogre.
And we don't know anything about who he really is anymore.
That'll do, donkey.
He's more like a cake.
My worry is they're going to try to get him so complex that they're going to ruin it. They're going to try too hard and push too far and be too clever by half, and it's going to bite them.
That, or they're making him out to be like Charles Manson. His personality changes every time you see him.
You hear Steve Manson's going to get married?
Yes.
26-year-old.
Well, he's been told he's allowed to get married.
How crazy is that?
Well, actually, funny thing you should ask.
You're getting married?
It is Charles Manson, and the answer is all the crazy. And now, obviously, this young lady... Also all the crazy.
Yes, really.
She's not old enough
to remember the history.
You know what? I wish them a happy whatever.
What?
But she's...
Well, we have to be the bigger people and pay her respects, I guess.
She's crazy. Yeah.
All the crazy.
But, you know, unfortunately, this is... And I don't know. This is kind of weird because it kind of ties back in. There is actually...
That was the reason why I did this.
There is that subsection of humanity that seems to be attracted to the prisoners, to those who are.
Yes, they are.
The monster, the imprisoned monsters, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's the I can fix him.
Maybe they end up with the ones looking for someone to lead them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so we end up with these weird kind of dynamics with the Hydra, the follower things, and.
Do you think Ward is looking for leadership, or do you think he's playing an angle?
I think he's playing his own angle.
To get to Sky.
Well, and that's just everybody wants to get to Sky, and
that's not her name.
Yeah. But honestly, as opposed to last season, where it's like why for the love of God, why? Yeah. This season,
what's he doing?
Well, they've planned this out. They're making it work. They've let her play the part. They're writing her an interesting part to play.
No,
she's playing a grown up now.
She's playing a grown up now.
Yeah,
and she's a well defined mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're pulling it in from the different directions,
and the mystery is defined by. Everything else around her and what's going on with her.
The best part of the mystery is she doesn't even know.
Right? Yeah.
It's not like she's keeping this big secret. She has all the same questions as everybody else does. Well, except for her dad, who has answers, but
Ward also seemed to know a thing or two about her.
Yeah. I don't know how much.
She knew his father was alive, but he also didn't give away the identity of the father.
I think he knew the father was alive because of something that Raina had said. I think that's where he got that information. It's not necessarily that he had any firsthand information so much as that he knew
Raina
from conversations he'd heard from Raina that he knew the father that Dr. Dad was still around somewhere. And we are going to see Raina again. Mm-hmm. In the next episode, because we see her in the preview having a conversation with Sky. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to exchange recipes.
That
whole conversation is about maybe.
Yeah.
Not all of that may appear in the next episode. There may be some of that.
Well,
may
some
be...
recipes are long and take some time.
That they may be giving us bits of future episodes that may not all be the.
You're assuming
next
they're going to promote it the way Grimm's been doing theirs.
They have done that.
Because Grimm says, coming up on Grimm, and then you have to wait 3 weeks to see what you saw in the promo.
At least, yeah. Yeah. And you can't even base it on...
It's coming up eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometime later,
we might tell you. But they do make it look like it's the next episode.
I'm starting to see, like with Arrow and The Flash, they're doing promos for the season.
Mm.
And you know that this is... This season on the show, I'm wondering if we're starting to see the beginning of a trend where the promos are not necessarily coming up next week. Mm-hmm. It's here's everything to watch because we want you to keep watching.
over and over and over again.
Isn't it kind of a spoiler letting you know that the main character is not going to die in the next episode?
Yeah. But
yeah, but
or they may, and then they'll come back all of the, three episodes later.
In all of the superhero shows, do you expect the main character to die in any of it anyway? So,
well, I don't know how many times have they killed off some characters in the comic books? Why not do it in them?
Well, yeah, but
it's also happened in soap operas.
But it's a comic book death.
Yes, but in a soap opera, they come back played by a different actor in the next season who's 6 inches taller than the previous actor, and somehow no one seems to notice
or care.
Or care.
Well,
and then the original actor comes back because the contract thing was, and it's like, well, actually, this is the
he's been that way all the time.
And you get the Roseanne thing with the daughter changing back and forth.
Yeah.
Or Bobby Ewing. that will
was
always
a long,
be
a long shower.
That will always be
really,
the ultimate reboot right there.
No.
Bobby
no,
Ewing showing
the ultimate show. Reboot was the Newhart reboot.
Ah.
Yes.
That was the ultimate reboot.
Yeah.
And of course,
well,
that
was a retcon.
Once again, we date ourselves because there's a whole chunk of this audience who's going,
What's a new heart?
Who's a new heart?
I didn't know there was an old heart.
For either one of those shows.
Oh, yes. I know.
There is. Yes.
What? Well, Cranston did it as a gag for Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh, right.
And what was that other show that he was doing? Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it wasn't part of the show.
No.
It was just something they did with Jane
on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was an extra on the DVD. It was an extra on the DVD release.
It was funny.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, but Newhart. Yeah, you're right. Newhart is the top. And then there's Bobby Ewing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. All right, back to the episode.
Now that we're done with our get off my lawn moment.
Well, no, this isn't a get off my lawn.
This is when you reminiscent.
These things, we're used to this stuff now.
Yeah.
We're used to this kind of yank the rug out.
Yeah,
that too.
Digressing,
but in terms of storytelling.
Well, the show gives us things, you know, gives us clues and says it's going to go this one direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't. It takes a hard left. And in the last 10 minutes
and
of the show,
it infuriates the fans.
Yeah.
The Bobby Ewing actually thing that was it may have been one of the first ones to do that. Okay,
yeah.
it people were ticked off,
terribly.
It was
violent riots of the streets almost type of anger.
Because, but again, we come back to the three networks and people watch this stuff your market share was huge.
Yeah.
Right,
that episode probably was, what, 20, 22 million or something like that?
You don't see those
and
kind of numbers
anymore.
Back then,
that was normal.
Yeah. Like a Super Bowl.
So when you get something like the Newhart thing coming along years later, it becomes the humor is not only in the context of the show and the reference of the first show, but also because people remember the shower scene.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, yeah, and they get the joke. Shows like S.H.I.E.L.D., see how we did this? We bring it back around. That's par for the course, though. I mean, it's yanking things out from underneath you, twisting it in a different way. It's,
right.
We not only do we have a superhero show where if you're a fan of the comic books, you're used to that just from comic book storytelling.
But it's also spy stories.
Yeah, definitely spy stories. But I mean, the last page of a comic book is usually the big reveal. And you open the door, and there he was. Ta-da!
Well, see, and the other thing, too, though, is, and this would only apply to the comic book readers, the comic book fans, not to the people in general who are just watching the show just to watch the show.
Sure.
But the other thing is where you have people like us who recognize elements,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to fit it to what's in the books.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where does this fall? Okay, what's
larger
the
context.
What's the comic book equivalent of what they're doing with X, Y, and Z? And who could this character be? It's all the speculation about Dad.
Right.
Who could he be? Who could Skye actually be? Is Skye going to be the new Ms. Marvel?
No.
Is Skye going to be, what's her name? Hyde, is it Hyde's daughter? Could Dad be Hyde and she's, help me out, what's her name?
Crap.
You know what I'm talking about.
You had to do that.
I do, you know? I gotta make you look a little mortal. But, you know, it's that kind of thing where we're sitting there going, okay, who is she? who is this character? What are they going to do with it? And where are they going to go with this particular thread? And what are they going to do with this particular character? And how is it going to play into the whole big Marvel Cinematic Universe? And, you know, like we're talking about, is the TV show going to play up to the movies? Is the movies all going to trickle down to the show?
Maybe it's going to go both ways.
Oh, I think it will.
I mean,
I think it will.
Not like, but, not as much as, I mean, the first season, it was definitely trickled down to the show.
But after Feige says that they're going to start dropping clues for Inhumans early, it makes me wonder if the TV shows, and by that I mean all of them,
right,
are going to take a little bit more, not necessarily a priority, but if they're going to have a little bit higher impact on the overall cinematic universe than we previously understood them to have.
Contribute to the storytelling that then gets told in the movies.
If there's going to be pieces that actually drop in the show first.
Daisy Johnson.
Yeah, her.
Sky could be a version of her, but I think it's unlikely.
I think she's Mary Sue. That was her name on the records, on the documents.
Remember that episode?
Because everybody, and that was another thing, and we talked about this with Moffat and Doctor Who, and him doing what he always does, kind of twisting from the complaints of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sometimes will do a little bit of that too, where, you know, because how many people were complaining that Sky was the Mary Sue character in the first season? And what do? They give her the name Mary Sue.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things where the producers were sitting there saying, yes, we are paying attention. We do listen. We are keeping an eye on you, fans. So it's a good sign that the Marvel people are paying attention to their fans. They respect their fans enough to sit there and say, mm-hmm, we know what we're doing. It's going to be okay.
Sure.
We're going to be fine. I read a thing. Oh, where was it today? Was it Comic Book Movie or Geek? It was Geek Tyrant talking about the attitude that Marvel has toward its fans compared to DC and Warner Brothers. And you can see that with the whole big presentation that Feige did, and we've talked about this, mm-hmm, you know, comparing, you know, getting the El Capitan Theater as opposed to doing it on a conference call with investors. Here's our new stuff. You know, here's all our new stuff.
Right.
And that does, I think it does carry over into the productions themselves. There are going to be things that are there specifically for the fans to catch. And that's a good thing. That shows respect to the audience. That shows, yeah, you're part of this. We get it.
And they should be, because they're ones supporting it and keeping it going.
Well,
without their fans, they don't have anything. They don't have a product. They don't have, you know.
Even deeper than that, though, it's not necessarily just all the fans in general, the people that are going to the movies. It's the comic book fans. It's the people who read the books, and they know these characters, and they know these setups.
I'm not saying that you have to appease every fan and everything that they say, but all of these fans in general, whether it's for the comic books or the movies or the TV shows or whatever, listening to them and giving them some of what they want or what a large portion of them are clamoring for, that's respecting them. That's giving your customers what they want.
Yeah.
Well, but that you have to be careful because that can go too far.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Not bowing to every whim, because first of all, you wouldn't be able to tell a story because you wouldn't be able to get them to mesh at all, because everybody would be asking for different things.
It's like first season of S.H.I.E.L.D. where fans were going, why do you have to do this? And the producers had to sit there and say, look, you've got to trust us. We know what's going on. There is a plan. You know, we all thought they were blowing smoke, but we knew there was, because just being part of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, there has to be a plan. There's got to be an overall thing anyway,
one
just because
thinks and
you
one
have to.
Hopes.
One does hope, although it was kind of hard to make it through that first season with some of the...
Yeah.
Well, things that we thought was writing, but actually
was
maybe more turned out...
On the work.
It turned out to be more of withholding story and withholding on characters because they couldn't let those things out yet. But golly, it felt like they were just writing things really wouldn't. Like Ward.
And
that was more cardboard than wooden.
Yeah, yeah. And it turns out that's that whole thing.
That was on. Yeah, that was on purpose. But speaking
of withholding,
yes,
we are going to have to withhold any of the rest of our discussion for next. Are we going to have an episode next week? Are we going to take off for the Thanksgiving weekend? I think we'll take off for the Thanksgiving week.
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
And then we will be back in 2 weeks with the new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the meantime. If you have a theory about who Skye's dad is, or who Skye is, that's not her name, how all of this fits together, if you've got any ideas or comments or questions or thoughts or you know, you want to tell us that we're full of it, that's fine too. You can send us an email, level1187@sci-fi4me.com, or you can leave a comment on the boards there. And you can also get in touch with us over on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube. Did I get them all?
I think so.
You got most
Instagram.
Instagram.
You said, I think you said Instagram.
Did I?
Yeah. I think you doubled up on that one.
You meant it twice.
Yes. And you can also find us on all of the different apps for subscribing to our podcast here. iTunes, Double Twist, OneCast, Stitcher. You can subscribe via email. You can get our RSS feed over on our main site, which is scififorme.com, which is about to get a makeover. I'll just hint that. And also, we do invite you. I know this was our Marvel conversation that we have every week. We also have a DC podcast that's brand new, absolutely brand. I mean,
doing it monthly right now because we haven't got the DC shows, or there's not that many on the air right now. But they're going to be rolling more out.
Yeah, and we're talking about Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, and Constantine. Mm-hmm. Constantine on that show. It's called The Rogues Gallery. And that is, right now, like Tim said, it is a monthly show. Hopefully, we've had some people ask for us to do it more regularly than that, but we're gonna roll that out slowly. So we invite you to listen to that. Remember, we got Sci-Fi for Chicks, where the ladies of the site are talking about various different things. Alex and Heather talk about Gotham on one track, mm-hmm. and Sleepy Hollow on another track, and there's some general discussion tracks, so you guys can pick up on all of that stuff. Whilst we are on hiatus for the week, and then we will be back in 2 weeks with the next episode, picking up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that's going to do it for us tonight. I want to thank the panel of usual suspects. Cammie Settle, dialing in from Ice Station Calypso.
Yes, gone to the dogs.
Maya Aids here in the studio.
Good night.
Along with Dan Handley.
Good night,
and
everybody.
Timothy Harvey.
Good night.
And on behalf of everyone here at scififorme.com, I'm Jason Hunt. Thank you very much for listening. And we will be back with another episode of Level 11D7.
This has been a presentation of scififorme.com. Copyright 2014 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. Sci-Fi4Me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.